Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew and chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. So little Billy got to Sunday school a little bit early, went down in the kitchen of the church, in the lower level in the basement of the church, and his Sunday school teacher, left a bowl of apples out there and a note by the apples. It said, "Please take just one. God is watching." He went a little further down the counter and he found a plate full of chocolate chip cookies. So he wrote a note beside that: "Take as many as you want. God is watching the apples." Sometimes we take liberties with God. And what I'm going to preach on this morning is something that really people have taken liberty with and misconstrued. And there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I'm going to preach this morning on the topic of baptism. Kind of apropos and appropriate for a Baptist church to preach on baptism. But you know, although we preach the gospel here and preach it every service regularly, somehow we're going to get the good news of Jesus Christ into every message. We don't always emphasize baptism. And we've got a lot of new people in the church, and some of you have been baptized, and we're glad for that. And I want to just kind of give you what the Bible says about baptism this morning. And if you're watching by way of live stream, we're glad you're watching. We have many watchers and many listeners to the radio broadcast, and we're thankful for you. And I know a lot of you, we've all got different backgrounds, and behind every face is a different story, and we've all got different baggage, but it is important that we know what God says about baptism, hence the message here this morning. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Okay, Matthew chapter 3, let's stand out of respect for God's word. Let me read just a little bit. It's a hard life for many people. One old man said, "We're born naked, wet, and hungry, and it gets worse from there." That's the truth for a lot of folks. And the message is very simple this morning. When I get to baptism, which is in a hot minute, I'm going to explain it in detail. Number one, you got to get born again. Amen. You got to get blood bought. You need to know that you're on your way to heaven. You just tuned in, or you're here in the auditorium, and you don't know that you're saved. You don't know for certain you're going to heaven when you die. You need to hear the message of the gospel. It's a no-so salvation. Number one, make sure you're born again. I'll explain that to you. You come up and ask me about it afterwards if you don't get it, if you don't understand it. You ask somebody carrying a Bible, they'll explain to you how Jesus came for sinners, of which you are one and I am one, and he died on the cross as our substitute. He took our place, for the wages of sin is death, and he died. He shed his blood, made blood atonement for our sin, and then he rose again on the third day as the victorious Savior, the Son of God. He made a way for sinners to go to heaven. Get born again. Be born from above. Blood bought. Born again. Number two, get baptized. Let's read Matthew 3. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" God, we pray your blessing upon the word. I'm going to read through some verses here. We're going to study it together. We pray for an unction. We pray for an anointing. And we pray that if there's someone here not born again, they'd get saved this morning. If there's someone here that is born again but not yet baptized, may they understand the importance of identifying with Christ, and may they get that taken care of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I don't preach to kick people while they're down. I don't preach to discourage anybody. If you're here and you're saved and you've never been baptized, I don't have anybody in my mind when I'm preaching this, but I'm telling you, you need to get baptized in order to be obedient to your Savior. You need to identify him. It isn't the second work of grace. It isn't adding 1 ounce of grace to your salvation. You're born again. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven. John the Baptist, the baptizer, the immerser, is the forerunner of Jesus. We're going to read the text. He was making straight the way, the paths before the Lord, the Messiah, gets there. He's preparing Israel for the coming Messiah. Let me read the first two verses again. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That kingdom of heaven is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. that terminology. And it's part of the Davidic covenant. Kind of, those of you that know your Bible, that gives you some background. Verse 3 says, "For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah," Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." That's the Jeshimon, the wilderness. That was very symbolic of the condition of Israel in that day. It was a vast wasteland, spiritually speaking. God raises up the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, and he's preaching the message of repentance. He says in verse 4, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Without getting too deep into that, let me just say this. He was a country boy. There was nothing fancy about him. And he was in the wilderness preaching, and the people came to him. Oh, it was kind of, I'm sure, an unusual sight, and word spread throughout all of Israel. Hey, there's the baptizer's out in the wilderness, and he's preaching. He's got a revival meeting going on, and he's preaching for them to repent and to be baptized. And baptism is an outward showing of something that takes place in the heart. I'm going to build on that in just a moment. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were the ones that set up the synagogue system of that day and all the minutia they added to the law. So they were kind of like they were the legalists of their day. Verse 8 says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." He looks over to them, and I don't know that they actually came out to have any change in their heart, but he looks over to them and he calls them snakes and he calls them vipers. He says, "Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" The judgment of God. And he said, Repent and be baptized, and think not to say within yourselves, "We have Abraham to our father." For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now, and they had, there's a lot of religious pride there. "Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." That's an illustration of God being the husbandman, and of course the judgment that was going to befall Israel. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And there's a fan in his hand. He's saying simply, the day of Pentecost, he's prophesying, he's preaching, is going to come, and the church is going to be born. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, is going to come down, and he's going to birth the church. And then judgment is going to come, Titus the Conqueror, 3 years after the day of Pentecost. Verse 12 says, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." Suffer means to permit, all right? Jesus comes to John the Baptist. They're cousins, right? We don't know that John the Baptist as an adult or even as a teenager had ever met Jesus, but they are cousins. He's the forerunner of Christ, the last of the Old Testament prophets. This is John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, a humble man. He said, "I'm not, there's one coming." He could have accepted worship while he was preaching in the wilderness. He said, "Oh no, there's one coming after me. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes." He's the very Son of God. When Jesus approached John the Baptist said on two occasions, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The water from that river Jordan, the muddy, dirty water from that river Jordan, couldn't wash away sin. But Jesus can. And his, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus said, "John, you need to baptize me." John said, "Lord, I need to be baptized of you." Baptism is not salvation. In case I don't say this in the rest of the message, Jesus didn't need to be saved. He didn't need to be born again. He wasn't a sinner. He said, suffer it to be so. We need to fulfill righteousness. These people need to know that baptism is important. And I am authenticating your ministry, John. That's what this is about. Let's read on. Verse 13 again says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove. This way I picture it in my mind, it was like the presence of God came down upon God the Son. I mean, it was just like it opened. It wasn't like it was a little feathery bird flying down. It was like a unveiling, if you will. It says, like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, this is the voice of God the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Same blessing was bestowed upon Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's stand one more time. I'm going to start preaching now. But I want to pray one more time. God, we come to you, and Lord, we pray for clarity. There's not a lot of things misunderstood like baptism. There's much confusion in the world in which we live. We pray the Holy Spirit today would be our teacher and preacher. And the Word of God would get all wrapped around our lives and into our hearts. And we'd understand the importance of baptism and really what it is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Baptism is not salvation. You've got to know that. There were 100 Baptist preachers here last Monday. Not one of them. They're all biblicists. They all know what the Bible teaches about baptism. There's a lot of confusion in the culture in which we live, and people have equated baptism with, are you going to heaven when you die? Yeah, I've been baptized. That doesn't cut it. That does not cut it. H2O does not save. Water does not wash away sin. You don't go jump in the lake in order to take a trip to heaven. We lose all credibility with any thinking man or woman if we go around preaching that baptism saves. Sins are not washed away in water. The Ganges River in the nation Bangladesh, every year on a single festival day, 110 million people try to wash away their sins. In a dirty river, in which a billion gallons of sewage flow into every day from 118 cities. And they somehow think that that washes away their sin. That is a human gospel. Jesus came and shed his blood. That diminishes the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That is a man-made gospel. Understand this. Water does not wash away sin. There is no such thing as holy water. You'll not find that anywhere in the Bible, in the Word of God. Nor will you find anywhere in the Bible it states salvation, or that baptism is salvation. It is not there. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of confusion concerning baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of what has gone on in the heart. Baptism is a testimony, a sermon, if you will, where you testify to everyone that sees you get baptized. It is a picture of what has already taken place in your heart. The salvation of the soul. The thief on the cross was never baptized. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Baptism, the water has no power to wash away sin. That water in our little baptistry tank up here has no power to wash away sin. That power hasn't been granted to me or any preacher or any priest. Only Jesus Christ, only he is the Savior. You need to be born again by way of the Holy Spirit. That happens when you repent of your sin and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Say, who's to be baptized? Everybody that is born again should get baptized. Not everybody is, but they ought to. A lot of verses we could look at, but let's quickly go to Acts in chapter 8 and verse 12. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Philip is preaching in Samaria. Man, people are getting saved. It's unbelievable. We refer to this, let me back up one quick second and say this. We refer to baptism as believer's baptism. There's a reason for that. Because those that are to be baptized are to be believers. So you need to be old enough to understand you're a sinner, old enough to understand you need a Savior, and you receive Jesus as your Savior. And in the Bible, they got saved and then they got baptized. There are no exceptions to that. Saved and then they got baptized. That's the way that's what the New Testament teaches. And here these people got saved, verse 12 of Acts chapter 8. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So these are people that get saved and then they get baptized. Go over to Acts in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. End of the chapter. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. It's salvation, the Philippian jailer. You just go right on down through all of the Bible stories, all of the New Testament. They get born again, and then they get baptized. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Who is to be baptized? Everybody that is born again. There are no babies. There's no infant baptism in the Word of God. You might be part of a denomination that teaches that, but I'm telling you, in that area, even if you're saved, you're following man-made doctrine. Nowhere in the Bible are babies baptized. They tell me I was baptized in a little Presbyterian church just a couple of miles here from Fundamental Baptist Church. Mom and dad, that's where they went to church at the time. They got born again later. They tell me that I think the pastor's name was Pastor Blackburn, if I remember right. He sprinkled some water on my forehead and I let out a cry. Even then I knew that wasn't right, right? And I let out a cry, but I don't remember that. That wasn't a decision I made. That wasn't anything from the heart. You need to understand, you get born again first and then you get baptized. So I was baptized as a baby, but I wasn't a born again child of God. And don't confuse it by calling it Christianism or Christianing, where you kind of sprinkle some water on their forehead. Why call that baptism? It's a religious action, is what it is. You get born again first, and then you get baptized. H2O cannot wash away my sin, but Jesus does. All right, why should believers get baptized? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission, verses 18 through 20. Number one, it's a command. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's evangelism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he said, you get those people born again, you teach all nations, you bring them to Christ, and then after they get saved, you baptize them. I want them to identify with me. I want them to testify to the whole world that they now believe in me, that they have now been born into the family of God, that there has been a change, and it's kind of like putting on the uniform, if you will. It's called believer's baptism. Number one, we're commanded to be baptized. If you never get baptized, you're still going to heaven if you got born again. But baptism, and again, it's not a second work, it doesn't add to your salvation, but it's the first step of obedience. And if you refuse to identify with Christ, then you're being disobedient, and God isn't able to bless you the way he wants to bless you. It really is that simple. It's a command. Number two, it's an example. We don't have time to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, but we're to be an example unto the people around us, and baptism is that example. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, it is a picture. You understand it's a picture? Let me kind of shift into high gear here. It is a picture of the death. We put them underneath the water, and the word baptize is the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse. It means to submerge. Even the Catholic Digest will tell you that. The very Greek word baptizo means to immerse. Why is that so important? Because it is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're short-circuiting, you're short-picturing the picture of the gospel, because Jesus gave up the ghost when he was there on Mount Calvary. And he was taken to the grave. And he was there for 3 days. They didn't sprinkle a little dirt on his face, all right? He went to the grave and then he rose again the third day. The New Testament Christian, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans and chapter 6. Quickly as you can turn there. The New Testament Christian is picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Look at verse 4. Therefore, We are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He said that is a picture of the gospel, the whole gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And you're saying you're going to walk in newness of life. I'm a child of God. When you get baptized, that's what you're saying. Here's the sermon you're preaching. I've been changed. I've been born into the family of God, and I am not ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. And I'm picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You see me getting baptized? That's what happened in my heart. Jesus, I put my faith in the finished work of the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Aren't you glad there's a resurrection? Aren't you glad Jesus rose from the dead? Baptism would be pretty tough without the resurrection, wouldn't it? I don't think we'd have a whole lot of candidates. Think it through. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death. That's it, right there. That's it. Stay down there. You know, that's not a real good picture, is it? Jesus rose from the dead. There is a resurrection. There is a new life to live. And you're testifying, you're preaching, if you will. You're picturing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When should a believer get baptized? Go to Acts chapter 16, verse 33. Acts chapter 16. Verse 33. I'll be honest with you. I do not like preaching messages where we jump everywhere and we don't stay in a single text. For me, I find it a little bit difficult, but I'm praying the Holy Spirit will tie this all together. When a person gets baptized, when a person gets saved, they ought to make every effort to get baptized immediately, as soon as possible, to identify with Christ. As soon as possible, you plant that flag. You stand tall for God. You say, I belong to Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm born again now, and I belong to Jesus. And as soon as possible, immediately, you don't need to take a week, 6 weeks of classes. You don't need to have a blood test and a credit check or any of those kinds of things. You just identify with Christ. In the Bible, they got baptized right away. Acts in chapter 16, verse 33. And you know, this is the Philippian jailer. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. You can find men and women all over the Bible, they got baptized immediately. It isn't like they had to wait. And I understand what some churches are doing. And okay, you got to take a baptismal class. We want to make sure you understand. And really, I think they're just trying to play the part of the Holy Spirit. And I know they're afraid of picking green fruit, and I'm not judging them for that, but I'm just saying here at Fundamental Baptist Church, you get saved, we're going to get you dunked as soon as we possibly can. We're going to get you underneath the water so that you will identify with Jesus Christ. It is impossible. I already spoke to the fact that baptism is by way of immersion and that sprinkling just doesn't do it. There's no wiggle room there. See, where'd that sprinkling thing come from? 1439, Catholic Church. And then it crept into other groups. But right from the beginning of the church, it was baptism by immersion. And you can understand if you think that baptism saves, that it's some kind of another step of salvation, which it is not. But you think somehow it is, and we better baptize those babies. What if they die while they're young? And the fact is, if a baby dies, they're not innocent, but they're under the grace of God. I can show you that in the Bible. And they go to God's heaven. Right. Baptism is not salvation. And every believer ought to be baptized by way of immersion. Go back again to Matthew in chapter 3. Matthew in chapter 3. And look at verse 15. I'll start with 13 again. I'll read it again because we're almost through here, and I'm going to try to draw this to a close. Verse 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Back up a step. If you're telling me that baptism is salvation, then you're telling me that Jesus needed to be born again, needed to be saved. It is not salvation. It is a picture. It's an outward symbolic exhibition of what has already happened on the inside. If you're here or watching or listening, and there was a time in your life where you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe it was by your bed, maybe it was at a church altar, kitchen table, in an automobile, at lunch break, wherever it was, whatever time of day it was. If you surrendered your heart, you asked Jesus to come into your heart, repenting of your sin, that's born again. That's all you've got to do. Praise God, we're going to be together in heaven because of Jesus. If you've not taken the next step and followed Christ in the waters of baptism, you're still going to heaven. But in order to have God's full blessing, you must be obedient to Him. God wants us to identify with Him. Right back in the early church in Acts in chapter 2, they got saved and they got baptized and they were added unto the church. That's the Bible way. The church is not just a loose group of people that everybody kind of does their own thing. There's two ordinances for the church, baptism and the Lord's table. There are under shepherds that take care of the church. Every local assembly is banded together as a church for the fulfilling of the Great Commission and to bring glory to God, to raise high the banner of evangelism and bring others to Jesus and the Great Commission and then baptize them and then disciple them. That is the Great Commission of the church. If you've been born again, but you've never been baptized, you need to take that next step, not to get to heaven, but to be one with the family of God and obedient to Jesus Christ. And we would love the privilege of baptizing you. You say, well, everybody thinks I'm baptized. Well, get it taken care of. God knows you're not. Don't be ashamed. Romans 1:16. Don't be afraid. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be silent. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Every time somebody gets baptized, whether it's here in the baptistry or at a lake or in a river or in a swimming pool, I've done it everywhere, all right? Wherever it happens, they're preaching a sermon. They're telling people, I belong to Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. I want to be bold for Christ. They might be an introvert, but they're willing to be baptized publicly. In some countries in this world, some nations of this world, man, where there's great persecution, to be baptized is to identify with Christ, and then you're persecuted. That's what was going on in the first century church. And I would just implore you, don't be ashamed of Jesus. He died for you. He was buried for you. He took your sins to the grave. He rose again the third day for you. And all He asks is that you receive Him as your Savior and then identify with Him by way of baptism. Don't get all caught up in that word baptism, by the way. It means immerse. That's all it means. There were several different kinds of baptisms in Old Testament Judaism. All kind of different religions had their all kinds of different baptisms. New Testament believers' baptism is just death, burial, and resurrection. I'm picturing it. When I partake of the Lord's table, when we celebrate the Lord's table here, it also is symbolic. It's just a picture. When we take it, when we drink the fruit of the vine or the broken bread, we're not eating our God. It is not some kind of theological cannibalism. It is a picture of the death and the broken body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He gave a command to the churches, His churches, two orders for the New Testament church. Baptism, Lord's table. Both are symbolic. Both are outward exhibitions of what's already taken place on the inside. Have you been obedient to Christ?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.